getting to the point where I just can't stand people. I mean, and it really sucks because it tends to get lonely. But most people just are so full of shit and so full of themselves and so phony that it's just, I'd rather just hang out by myself, really. Seems that I start to try to go out and try to, you know, see things differently. It just all comes right back, and I'm just reminded every day, you know, just how fucked up people are.
Time is running out for the planet Earth.
Thank you. everything around me became suddenly unreal, as if in a dream.
Change your approach to emotional processing, and you may find that you are a lot less emotionally distressed than you think. Let's say that you have the thought, I am worried. As soon as you have that thought, your brain asks itself, why am I worried? And believe me, your brain will always come up with a reason. As you think about this reason, you will likely feel even more worried. As more intense feelings of worry arise, you will naturally think of more and more reasons why you are worried and should be. You see the trap? Feel it. Hearing the question, why am I worried, is enough to send both persons into the mental trance of things, but also personal and global reasons we, quote, should be worse, which is more numerous or intense reasons.
brothers, the mercies of God present your life, as a living sacrifice to present your brothers, by the mercies of God to present your lives, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your terrible, which is a sacrifice, holy and by the mercies of God to present your lives, as a living sacrifice, and acceptable to God, which is your brothers, by the mercies of God to present your lives, as a living sacrifice, as we be holy and acceptable to God, holy and present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, brothers, by the sacrifice acceptable, which is I have to living as a living sacrifice, you must do so, as a living and acceptable to God, such as your spirit. I appeal to you, therefore, but that you are a living sacrifice acceptable to the spirit.
Bodies. Submissively dominant delusional dorks on the wrong meds who can't hear the word no. Little sense of personal hygiene or linear thought. The social sensibility bordering on the mentally retarded. Who whine incessantly about their ambivalent and insist you lend them $10. Paranoid, hot-headed, borderline, mega pothead, rageaholic, troglodyte resembling college radio station general managers, the type AAA personalities, always on their last nerve, screaming at you over the phone at the top of their resin-coated lungs. Pear-shaped cranksters with hepatitis who are bigger than the Honda motorcycles they ride in on. Roommates who announce cheerfully, "I got a job today," every 1.5 weeks, and then giggle like Pee-wee Herman, mysteriously disappearing on rent day. Middle-aged angry loners decked out completely in green camouflage, hollering at the bewildered night crew at Jack in the Box at 4 a.m. that they want respect. People obliviously humming and making little noises and comments to themselves and hitting the keys too hard and talking on their cell phone while you're trying to work on the computer quietly at the library. People obliviously standing directly in front of open doorways or at the foot of escalators, chatting, where other people obviously have to walk. Conservative butthead homeowners who actually are failed artists, resembling the real-life Fred Flintstone in gated communities who are very smug and self-satisfied about being conservative, and have to push their political views in your face every 5 minutes at family gatherings and inquire about your beard. People who don't understand and don't want to understand. Please, all of you, go somewhere, anywhere, as long as it's not here. I'd rather be completely alone than put up with the likes of you ever again.
We're in a race. It is essential with the conflict that we have around the world. It means seeing that our economy moves forward even faster than it has with the kind of leadership that we can provide in these years ahead. That we not keep just freedom for ourselves. that we not just hold our own. It means keeping America even stronger militarily. See that the young people of America particularly, which distinguishes us from the atheistic materialists, and we're going to move even further ahead. We're in a race. It is essential with the conflict that we have around the world. It is essential that we extend freedom, extend it to all the world. But we aren't going to move America forward more than what we've been doing. Because we are first in the world, it will not be our ambition that will determine it. And we aren't going to be able to lead the world to win this struggle for freedom so that we can be a splendid example for all the world to see. And so I say in conclusion, keep America's faith strong. In other words, the next president, as he leads America in the free world, and faith in God, 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 and faith in God.
Yeah. cynical about the state of Palestine, the state of Israel.
Cynical about the Bush administration.
Rather cynical about media events.
Cynical about the market forces. Cynical about ads.
Cynical about the national government.
Cynical about a congressman. Cynical about a senators.
I am kind of cynical about society.
Cynical about communism.
Cynical about the state of Palestine, the state of Israel.
Cynical about the Bush administration.
Rather cynical about media events.
Cynical about the market forces. Cynical about ads.
Cynical about the national government.
Cynical about a congressman. Cynical about a senators.
I am kind of cynical about society.
The good news, Sagittarius, is that you are about to collect a special karmic dispensation. You're about to collect a bonus gift from the forces of fate. Now, this karmic dispensation happens to be compensation for good deeds that you performed in the past, good deeds that were never properly rewarded before. And it so happens that this karmic dispensation is going to be accompanied by a spurt of growth in your willpower. All in all, Sag, I'm expecting that for a limited time only, you're going to be virtually exempt from cosmic compulsion. Exempt from cosmic compulsion. I'm not kidding you. This is one of those rare moments when astrological forces are sort of stepping back and giving you more freedom to maneuver, giving you more leeway to shape your life according to your own desires, rather than having to answer to the compulsions and conditioning built up in the past. So in other words, Sagittarius, fate has less hold on you now than it has had in a long time. Therefore, you have enormous power to reprogram the patterns that will shape your life for months to come. So, that's the good news. What's the bad news? There is no bad news, Sagittarius. There is some challenging news. While this grace period ahead of you will no doubt be exhilarating, it will also impose a big responsibility on you. After all, you won't have anyone to blame or congratulate for the events that unfold. What happens will largely be generated by your own imagination and your own willpower, or lack thereof. There's another sense in which you will be carrying a big responsibility. You will have an unusually intense influence on everyone around you. You will have more power than usual to hurt and obstruct people, or else to liberate and inspire people. Of course, I'm going to be rooting hard for you to do the liberation and inspiration thing. Yes, Sag, as fun as it will be for you to be strong and free yourself, it will also be a major test for you in a couple of different ways. The first test that is hinted at, will you use your clout in an ethically responsible manner? Will you help people rather than manipulate them? The second way this period of strength and freedom will test you is this. You may be tempted to think you're better than everyone. That would not be good. Thinking you're better than everyone would be damaging to your soul, so please don't fall into that trap. So I want to leave you on a high note. Despite the fact that I have a small amount of worry about whether you will pass your tests, I do believe in my heart that you will. That's why I'm boldly predicting the following. I predict that you will soon acquire a fresh, hot, new privilege. I predict that you will be honored in an unexpected way. And I predict that you will receive a vivid vision about how to alter your life's master plan, so that you will be doing exactly what you want to be doing 5 years from today. 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 5 years from today.
Mongo only pawn in game of life.
Your area code and mailbox number, then press 2. Oh, right. The sender message, press 5.
Hi.
Press star to cancel your mailbox number.
Okay.
To leave a number where you can...
What you don't like, and do what you'd rather not.
What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor? What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor?
The best way to keep healthy is to eat what you don't want.
The secret of a long and healthy life, Professor. Secret of a long and healthy life, Professor.
The best way to keep healthy is to eat what you don't want, drink what you don't like, and do what you'd rather not.
What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor? What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor?
The best way to keep healthy is to eat what you don't want, drink what you don't like, and do what you'd rather not.
Thank you.
At a time when America was in her most bewildered state of mind.
Where do you live?
It has unanimously passed a bill naming you California's foremost citizen.
Shut the hell!
You just been made, scumbag!
America was in her most bewildered.
Some women look.
If you don't understand something, bewildered. Take it apart and study its
components. Some women.
Miss?
Bewildered.
Some women look to their hearts.
This view doesn't exclude God for the...
Shut the hell up!
Bewildered, 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 bewildered,
Bewildered, I'm a fellow American.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
One time it never reached the theater.
I don't think they have any right to do it.
Shut the hell up!
I was kneeling in the street beside him with President's head in my hand.
Where's everyone going?
My fellow
Americans. Where's everyone going?
My fellow Americans. They've written this marvelous sad speech.
Where do you live? What time is it? Where do you live?
I want to know what's out there.
I remember.
I want to see it.
I remember.
You know you're sucking in it.
Yes. Tomorrow, I know you're sucking in it. Bob looking up at me. And his face is all twisted in pain.
What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor?
He began his dying speech.
In my dream last night, I'm up at the ranch, but alone, looking after things. It is at night. Lights from the house shine out into the darkness, and it is raining lightly. Between Greg's trailer and his parents' house, there is a raging river coming down from the hills. Across the river is a rickety but very large wooden bridge, and I'm trying to make my way along the outside of it, not wanting to step directly onto it for some reason. Near the end of the bridge, the part that's near the house, I step onto some very desiccated, decayed wood and almost lose my footing. I step onto the shore, and a key huge bolt breaks loose from the bridge's turret where I stepped, and the bridge unravels and tears itself apart. Most of it falls into the river and is swept downstream. The boat and the yacht belonging to Greg's parents, which were tied to the bridge, are also swept away. As the mountain of wood, boats, ropes, metal, and whatnot sweeps by, it pulls out the long wooden dock which is connected to the house, which houses all the electronics and audio-video, and pulls the house into the stream as well. It is a major catastrophe. I start running about wildly trying to find a phone to call 911, but no doubt the phone lines have been swept away too by the debris in the water. I wonder what they would do anyway though. Maybe people with houses downstream need to be warned. Then I'm in the town of Laytonville. It feels like the 50s. I imagine living a simple-minded life here, working in a small store or something. I'm palling around with a young Patrick McGowan who was passing through town and picked me up as I was hitchhiking. I feel fortunate to be in this company and wonder what my friends will say when I tell them. We get out on the lawn of some motel and there is the cast of Space 1999, Barry Morse, Barbara Bain, and Martin Landau. they're dressed in these shimmery silver jumpsuits. Their bodies are like kids. Their heads are larger than normal. They're carrying their series equivalent of the phaser, a sort of N-shaped, over-the-hand type weapon. They start chasing McGoohan and me. We run into a subway station. This will take us to San Francisco, but the doors open and close too fast for us to get on. McGoohan and I run down the tracks. I'm worried we don't get electrocuted, but there is another platform leading to the outside on the opposite side of the tracks. A train on the tracks in front of us comes down the tracks. Suddenly, I realize that a young Richard Pryor is running with us and that I'm Gene Wilder. We are reliving a movie he was in called Silver Streak. As Wilder, like in the movie, I tried to grab onto the back of the passing train, but can't do it. We continue on to the next platform. When we get to it, we're surrounded by flesh-eating zombies. The movie is turned into Dawn of the Dead. I'm outside trying to outrun these zombies, but I find myself at the bottom of a big hill. All around the ground is slick and muddy. They have no problem lurching over the terrain, but I slip and slide everywhere and can't get away. One of the zombies says to me, "I really shouldn't eat you, I'm on a diet." Somehow I manage to get away from them and run down the hill with them. Hot on my tail. They can move very fast. This feels like when Indiana Jones is running from natives with the river and Raiders of the Lost Ark. Before me is a huge shimmering lake, and there are lots of people who have apparently not heard of the zombie plague yet, sitting on the shore, fishing, boating, wading, and whatnot. I think if I can only get out on the lake, I will be safe. I see a motorboat floating around by the lake shore, and I run down to it. As I run toward it, it becomes flimsier, smaller, and simpler. A sailboat, then a rowboat, then a small child's boat, barely bigger than I am when I reach it. I get on it and start paddling out into the lake, but before long I find that the water is full of zombies that are floating up to the surface to grab me. That's when the phone rang next to me and I woke up from the series of dreams. I answered it, and on the other line, and on the other end was a recorded voice.
"Hello, my name is Bob. I am a telecomputer. I am conducting a survey on real estate owners. Hello, my name is Bob. I am a telecomputer. I am conducting a survey on real estate owners.
True happiness and success comes from living your life in harmony with the laws that govern your being. Even though these laws are invisible, they're like the law of gravity, also invisible, but to be violated only at your peril. Happy people are simply those who obey the laws and follow the laws and live their lives consistent with the laws. If we want to have self-confidence on the outside, we must have complete integrity on the inside. The real foundation of self-confidence is living your life consistent with your innermost values and principles while thinking and acting in harmony with your highest aspirations. Men and women with the most rock-solid self-confidence are inevitably those who are absolutely clear about what it is they believe to be right and good and worthwhile, and they live their lives consistent with these values. Everything they do or say is a reflection of these innermost convictions. Your whole world can fall down around you, but as long as you know that you're doing the right thing, you'll have a deep inner sense of calm that will manifest itself in an attitude of confidence and self-assurance in any situation. You'll have many ups and downs in life, but what is most important is that you remain true to yourself. And then, as Shakespeare said, thou canst not then be false to any man. So the starting point of developing high levels of self-confidence and, in reality, becoming a superior human being is to think through and to decide upon your values. Your starting point toward higher self-confidence and personal greatness is to clarify your values for yourself, to decide for yourself what it is that you believe in. What do you stand for, and even more, what will you not stand for? What would you pay for, or sweat for, or maybe even die for? Do you value your family, your God, your health, your work or career? Or do you value principles such as freedom and liberty and compassion for the less fortunate or reverence for life?
What are your values?
What are your
what
values?
Are your values?
What are your values? What are your values? 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 Whatever your values are, think them through.
The useful exercise you can engage in is to think of the men and
the
women
useful exercise you can engage in is to
admire.
Think of the men and women
what qualities or attributes
of
these people do you
what qualities or attributes of these
what
people do you consider to be
your friends and associates when
what qualities
you're trying
do you look
for whether
your friends and associates when you're trying to decide
what
whether
do
or not
you think are the fundamental qualities or values
what do you think are the fundamental qualities or values that underlie business and personal relationships?
What are your values?
What are your values? What are your values? What are your values? Values, values, values. The executives of the corporation always select integrity as their highest value and the most important organizing principle for the entire organization. And the word integrity, according to the dictionary, means perfect, undivided, complete, unified, a single whole, without blemish or fault. It's a fine value to choose. However, you cannot have a little bit of integrity. You cannot have a value when it's convenient and put it aside when it's not convenient. The act of selecting your values is also the act of clearly stating to yourself, and sometimes to others, exactly how you will live from this moment forward. Once you've selected a value and you have declared it to be one of your unifying principles, you are in effect saying that this is something upon which you will never compromise. And your level of adherence to the values you have personally selected is the real measure of your quality as a human being. Unshakable self-confidence comes from unshakable commitment to your values. When deep down inside yourself you know that you will never violate your highest principles, you experience a deep sense of personal power that enables you to deal openly and honestly and with complete self-confidence in almost every human situation.
What are you doing?
I'm watching one of Stanley's Chumpokomon videotapes.
Why?
Our son loves this show, Randy, so I think it's important that we watch it to see if it's teaching him good moral values.
Hey, you must be Rooster! I haven't bought one of you yet, but I'll bet you can transform into Roostallion if you found Diamond Skill 7.
Rooster! Hey, I'm gonna take your Rooster and put it in this bag where it will flourish or expire depending on fate.
Hey, is that a good idea?
Roosters aren't like Chuchunezmes, they haven't the heart for such endeavors.
Oh?
Are those good moral values?
I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
I remember I was going through the more nastier phases of depression during the black years of 1991 to 1994. I would be down so low in a pit of ugly, toxic thoughts and hateful and terrified feelings that I couldn't get out of bed, much less leave the house. And this would go on for days and nights. And then suddenly, it was as if the black cloudy skies were parted by the sun, and I would feel relieved and happy to be alive. Take a bath, get dressed, and leave the house to do laundry and go grocery shopping, and do so with a spring in my step and a gleam in my eye. It was truly amazing, and yet my happiness had nothing to do with mania or euphoria. It was just a simple joy, like that of seeing the sun after weeks of rain, or the simple joy of being able to eat solid food after weeks of having a flu, or the simple joy of not having a three-day hangover or migraine. Yes, the simple joy of not being miserable, which is also a form of ice cream. And then, oddly enough, not long after completing those necessary tasks, the storm clouds would roll back in, and I would be Mr. Boo once again. idea of existential fair play, especially on the starving children and adults in the deserts of this world, but I truly hope not. And I certainly do not mean to appear casually dismissive or flippant about their plight, but the fact is, I can't pay to rescue them, and so the way I deal with this profound sense of helplessness and survivor skill is to believe that somehow, in some way, nature, or the inherent design of this particular dream game, compensates their suffering with some form of ice cream. And if it doesn't, then that's just one more reason to loathe this mortal existence and be glad all mortal creatures get to die.
Need to explore the film. A joyful, fulfilling life entails risk. And encountering fear is part of the risk-taking process. Accept it and act anyway. That's what courage is all about. To act despite the fear. Fear, too, often paralyzes people. Refusing to act, they close down and begin to avoid life. The end result is that life becomes dull and boring. And when life becomes too mundane, we'll do something to create excitement, even if it's self-destructive. Examine your body. An extramarital affair will spice up your life. A good fight with your mate will get your blood pumping and let you know you're still alive. Dangerous driving could give you a thrill sensation. The potential for self-destructive or thrill-seeking actions is endless. People invoke them to add the missing elements necessary to make life interesting again. Others, whose lives are dull and boring, exercise great self-control. Their lives are so safe and so dull that even though they don't indulge in self-destructive activities, the dark side of their mind has to create something to make life more exciting. This is the way human beings work.
It tends to get lonely. I'd rather just hang out by myself, really. Every time it seems that I start to try to go out, it tends to get lonely. I'd rather just hang out by myself, really. Every time it seems that I start to try to go out and try to, see things differently, See things differently, it's just all...